The word of God as read sounds complete. I feel like I hardly need add anything, but I'll try. Don't be anxious, Jesus counsels us. In this beloved passage from Beatitudes, let your attitude be one of trust in God. And if you put God's things first, working for a loving and caring and just society, pouring yourself out, well, then God's way will look after you too. One writer puts it this way: the worry, or at least the way to worry-free living, is to focus on God's values. If we desire to live a whole life, a free life, then we must seek Jubilee before all else. We need to embrace one another in all the ways the Sermon of the Mount talks about, and take responsibility for caring for one another, nurturing our connections and celebrating our interdependence. Right. But you know what? We do worry. We worry about love. We worry about health. We worry about work. We worry about getting older. We worry about many things. Today I want to focus a little bit on the worry that comes from disappearing work, the lack of good jobs, the lack of meaningful work. We know right now that Northern Africa is rising up, and one of the root causes, if you've been following CBC, is that the people are young. Consider the average European to be between 40 and 45 years old. Do you know what the average age of North Africa is, from Egypt right through to Libya? 20 years old to 25 years old is the average age. They're educated, at least starting to get educated, and there isn't work. This has led to an inspiring rising up. But not only that, under repressive rulers, there's been several generations of people whose time and lives and potential have been wasted because of lack of meaningful work and participation. And now it's thrilling and inspiring. We don't know where it's going to stop, but people are rising up. To say the least, in Wisconsin as well, who would have thought? Tens of thousands of people camped out on the steps of their legislature. Why? The Republican government is going after the unions, the public sector unions. These are the teachers, the nurses, the firefighters, the municipal officials. And these are folks who have the right, hard fought for, of collective bargaining. The easiest trick in the book when times are hard are to set one group of workers against the other group. It's easy enough to envy workers who seem to have a good package, while you might not. But what everybody knows is when the good middle-class publicly funded jobs start to disappear, it's a fast slide to the rest. And so tens of thousands of workers are saying, why is the heat off Wall Street, which has been accumulating and disappearing wealth to vaults in Switzerland, and why is the heat on workers? Well, one response by Jim Wallis, the Evangelical Social Justice Network in the States, is to say that a budget is a moral statement. A budget is just as moral as some of the sayings in the Bible, and in fact, a moral budget is very biblically based. What the Republicans are doing right now is not cutting where the real spending is going on, military growth out of control, but they're cutting in the most vulnerable areas. And so Jim Wallis says, the proposed budget cuts would beat plowshares into more swords. These priorities are not only immoral, they are unbiblical. So let's get back to our Bible reading for this morning. To really understand the Beatitudes In this passage, we need to go back to an earlier one, verse 19. And there Jesus is talking about a larger question: what rules a person's life? What rules a person's life, and what counts as your treasure? What do you store up as of lasting value? Well, one way of accumulating is to put our gold in Switzerland, as many on Wall Street are doing right now, and saying, oh, we're only going to bring our billions back into the country if you give it to us tax-free. Another way of storing up our treasures is in heaven. And the scholars interpret that way as saying, treasures in heaven refer to almsgiving. It is sharing rather than accumulating, and spending now and investing in the gold of young people's potential, in the gold of caring for those who God has created. And as we do that, we are creating deep values deeply rooted in our society that will continue to give and to give. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be. It's not saying that money is evil or that we don't need things or we don't need to plan. But it says that if we do this in a way that is concerned about the collective good and our communities, all boats will be lifted. Today, the word worry used in this biblical text is a Greek word which Fred Craddock says means split attention or divided concern. The word appears 6 times in 9 verses in one form or other. It relates to the very basics of human life: food, drink, and clothing. But Matthew uses images from Israel's past, saying that it is God's way to lead people out of the sidelines, out of the margins, out of exile, and into a way of enough. That is what God will do. I have a story today that you can read about more fully in a magazine called Mandate. Some of you are familiar with this, some of you aren't. It's produced by our national church, and I've just been there at meetings for 2 days. It's the unit called Justice, Ecumenical, and Global Relations. Now the name is changing to Partners in Mission. And at least 4 members of our congregation work in that department, and I've had the privilege of seeing their marvelous work these last 2 days. And in this resource, I'm going to leave a copy on the table back in the narthex, and there's others for you to take home. You can read stories from our partners around the world, because our church works in partnership. That is one of our most deeply rooted values. And one of our partners is a group of people in El Salvador. It's called the Santa Marta Association for Economic and Social Development. But let me tell you this story. Christy Neufeld in our congregation has just visited the people of Santa Marta. She's very excited about them. This is a group of people that in the late 70s decided as faith people that they wanted to study issues about why are there so many poor people around them. And so they formed house churches. They met to study the Bible, to pray together, to ask questions in each other's homes. This was encouraged by the liberation theology of the Catholic Church. But what happened as people got strength and started to raise their voices publicly, there was incredible government repression. You know that story. And from 79 to 81, 30,000 people in El Salvador were assassinated and terrible things happened. Finally, the whole community of Santa Marta had to flee across the border into Honduras because of the aerial bombing. There they lived in refugee camps for a few years, and they had the opportunity to be resettled to the States, to Canada, to Europe. But they decided to go home. They decided they wanted to stick together because by now their relationships were like gold to them. And they wanted to go back and teach their children how to plant corn so they didn't forget. So they did. Even though a peace accord wasn't signed until 1992. They went back to their home area and they started seeking help. The United Church, our church, through the Mission and Service Fund, was one of the very first partners to respond. We sent money, we sent people, so did the Anglican Church. And we started helping the people train what they call popular nurses. What popular in Latin American lingo means commonplace, of the people. You don't need degrees up the yin-yang, but you need enough knowledge to get out there and start doing the work and training others. And so Santa Marta started building kindergartens and schools. Where there was no school, they built it. Where there were no supplies, they started creating them. You've got the picture. Fast forward, Santa Marta now graduates 1,000 high school students a year, and half of those go on to university. It's the highest rate in the country. And their troubles aren't over. Just when they've got on their feet and they're a shining example to the rest of the country, about in the early 2000s, the gold miners came. A Canadian company, Pacific Rim, is wanting and starting to explore and mine for gold. But those who protest, we won't go into the whole story of gold now, except to say there's been some damaging things to the communities. The people don't want it. And so the killings have started again. Recently, the chair of Gold Rim went after the people of Santa Maria. He named them publicly in our own House of Commons standing committee. But the people are studying the issue, and it looks like El Salvador is about to ban mining, metal mining, in its densely populated area, something to watch out for. So how are we part of the problem of gold? Where do we place our gold, and what do we count as gold? I would say that our relationships are golden, that the potential of young people are gold, and that true gold are creating the values that care for each other. As Jesus walked through the fields back and forth to his work in the stone quarry, in the carpenter shop, he saw lilies in the field. He'd noticed birds in the air. And by the way, when I was visiting the village of Nazareth, reconstructed by Mennonites from the States, some of you might have been there, we learned that Jesus was not only likely a carpenter, but likely a stonemason as well. He would have worked with metals, with stone, and with wood. What did he work on? Most likely, he was working on restoring the city of Sepphoris, a few miles away, destroyed by the Roman Empire. And he would have also been building a theater, just a few miles away. You might wonder if after a hard day's of labor, Jesus lingered and heard some of the words from the Greek and the Roman playwrights. In any case, he had a lot of opportunity walking back and forth between stonework to notice the lilies in the field. Normally, the lilies in the field are a drab, brown, ordinary color. You don't see them. But for 2 weeks of the year in Palestine, they bloom and blossom into brilliant and dazzling colors. And we might wonder, isn't that the way it is with most of the ordinary people in the region? They toil away, life's kind of drab, it's kind of ordinary, and then we've seen the golden colors that people have shown in Egypt, in Libya, in Tunisia, in other places. We've seen the true metal. Some of the media commentators have remarked on how brave and how kind the Egyptian people have been to one another, nonviolently. And earlier, a few months before all this started, we heard a lot about some terrorists bombing the Coptic Christian churches in Egypt. But what we did not hear is 1,000 Egyptian Muslims silently coming and making a ring with their bodies around a Coptic Christian church so that the people could pray and not worry. The Christians are a small minority in Egypt, but their Muslim brothers and sisters gave that protection. And these kinds of stories are emerging everywhere. Now that things are happening, we're hearing clips on the radio about young people saying, well, now I have to play my part. I can't harass women on the street anymore. In fact, I'm not going to smoke. I'm going to find out what the laws of the land are. I'm going to be part of creating them. People are saying, we now have to play our part. And maybe that's a place to stop, saying that we turn our worry into work, into playing our part so that others worry less. We turn our work into focusing on what we can do to be part of a rising up in a peaceful way. In a funny kind of way, John Wesley, that name is familiar to some of you, an older Methodist preacher of years gone by. John Wesley thought that work was the solution for everything. Above all, do not make the care of future things a pretense for neglecting present duty. This is the most fatal way of taking thought for the morrow. As old-fashioned as the words are, there's a ring of truth. That we look to the bigger picture, we decide which direction we're going in, the gold of people's potential, the gold of restoring creation, or the gold of hoarding for the greedy. And once we decide which direction we're moving in, we then find the part that we can play, doing those daily things and offering those particular things that we happen to be trained for or good at. And so we take our place in the kingdom of God. Worrying about work and worrying about money may not be your top worry today. You may be thinking about health and well-being or loved ones. But we do know that if we turn our worry over by expressing it in prayer, if we turn our worry over by visualizing well-being and trusting that God's Spirit is flowing through every cell of our body, and trusting that the energy and Spirit is working with us to reach out, our worries lessen, and we focus on what constructively we can do. So today we go forward to eat together, to be about the business of our community, of planning for the future, and yet celebrating what's going on now in the present. Thank you, Mary Lou and Robin, for your announcement about our play reading. That's one of the exciting things about our community together that's coming up, as well as the other things happening. Together we are gold. It is in our beloved relationships and community that stores our gold. May our treasures be not corrupted, and may we know their eternal meaning. Amen.